You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome in. It is the Chris Carlin Show. Anita Marks in for Chris Carlin this week. And what a week it is to fill in for the one and only Chris Carlin because of the news that, of course, broke today. And we're going to be diving into it hard and heavy tonight. I'm really excited about the show. We've got Connor Rogers from Bleacher Report, who's going to be joining us in about 30 minutes. Cynthia Freeland will be joining us in our second hour around 8:30. And Mike Clay from ESPN is going to join us at 9 o'clock for all you fantasy football freaks out there like me. What is Cam Newton and the addition of Cam Newton to the New England Patriots? What does that do for fantasy teams in and around the country? So excited for our lineup today. I'm broadcasting from the living room of my apartment, and it is around 7 o'clock at night, so folks are probably on their way home. You might hear a dog or two or three or four or five barking at some point in time. I just like to preface that I do have quite a few dogs. So we'll just roll with the punches. Giselle is back in the studio producing the show. Also, Joel's working on the show as well. So three of us will be with you for the next 3 hours. Quite excited about it. Excited to be in for Carlin tonight. Like I said, let's kick it off. And the majority of the show will be focusing on the NFL because of all the news today, specifically around the Patriots and how this is all going to play out. So if you live under a rock and you're not aware, you're listening to Sports Talk Radio. So I'm just going to assume you do. 1 year deal, incentive laden deal for Cam Newton to join the New England Patriots in a $7.5 million deal. I think this is a really great decision for Cam Newton. There were a number of teams that I think would have and could have been a good fit for Cam Newton. The Pittsburgh Steelers would not have surprised me for a good fit for Cam Newton. In fact, let me do this because I did this the other day on my weekend show. And just looking around the league and where realistically, where could Cam Newton have gone? Right. And we want to assume, look, we are in the midst of a pandemic. I call it the pandemic pause when it comes to professional sport. Cam Newton has had a lot of time to get healthy, work out, and get physically and mentally strong. A big holdup in Cam Newton aligning himself with a team was because we are in the middle of a pandemic. And keep in mind, teams and their medical staff do not have the ability to meet with Cam and really truly evaluate him. And that's why the 1 year incentive laden deal for the Patriots really is wise. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, this does not work out for the Patriots. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, Cam Newton plays maybe two or three games for the Patriots and then that's it. Next year, he's cut. They move on, whether it's with Jared Stidham or maybe they go out and they wheel and deal and move up and they get Trevor, from Auburn. The Patriots only lose $1 million. So there is not a huge risk reward here for the Patriots in this deal. Keep that in mind. So there is, and as we know, vintage Cam Newton, there is tremendous upside in what the Patriots can get for this deal. Now, how does this, so win-win for the Patriots. Okay. Now for Cam Newton, how does this work out? Okay. Well, let's take a look around the NFL, all the 32 teams, and realistically, where could Cam Newton have fit in? You could say the Miami Dolphins. Is he better than Fitzmagic? Yes. Is he better than Rosen? Yes. Is Tua going to start this year? I don't believe so. So could this have been a one-year thing for the Dolphins and Cam Newton? Yes. But you know what? There's a chance that Tua is going to start. You don't want to derail his development. So, okay. It didn't work there. Buffalo, no. The Jets, no. Dallas, no, because Dak Prescott, agrees to his deal. Obviously, no with the Giants, no with the Eagles. The Redskins, I think that could have been interesting. The fact that they are going into their second year with Dwayne Haskins, and even though it's a new head coach and a regime that did not draft Dwayne Haskins, because they drafted him so high, I think they need to figure out, like, I think they need to give Dwayne Haskins a shot this year and see what, you know, what do they have with him. So I don't believe Washington was a good fit. Obviously not the Ravens, not Cincinnati. They drafted Joe Burrow, Cleveland. No, here's a shot. I really would have liked, I'll be honest with you, I think this would have been a better fit for Cam Newton is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's be honest. We know that Ben Roethlisberger is not good for 16 games. We know that. And the backup quarterbacks to Ben Roethlisberger is a professional duck caller and Mason Rudolph. So for me, I really do feel like one of the best landing places for Cam Newton would have been the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm expecting more from the Pittsburgh Steelers this year than I am from the New England Patriots. But hey, it is what it is. He's in New England. Chicago, obviously they went with Nick Foles, and I think Nick Foles is going to have a shot to compete, and I think he will beat out Mitch Trubisky, by the way. The Lions, no. Green Bay, no. Minnesota, no. Houston, no. The Colts, they bring in Phillip Rivers. Rivers is their quarterback. I'm expecting big things from the Colts this year, by the way. Jacksonville, no. Tennessee, no. Again, Tampa Bay, obviously they bring in Tom Brady. I'm looking around the board. The Las Vegas Raiders, they brought in Marcus Mariota. Would I take Cam Newton over Marcus and Derek Carr? Yeah, 7 days a week and twice on Sunday, but that's not what happened. Chargers, they drafted a first round quarterback, yada, 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 looking around. So really at the end of the day, to me, the two best landing places for Cam Newton would have been the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Patriots. So, and number one for me would have been the Pittsburgh Steelers, but neither here nor there. He's now with the Patriots. So what happens now for Cam Newton and what happens now for this Patriots team? Now, this might shock some people. If you do listen to me on the weekends, you know that I'm a big Jared Stidham fan. In fact, when Jared Stidham was coming out in the draft, I was screaming from the mountaintops that I wanted the Giants to draft linebacker Josh Allen in the first round and turn around and get Jared Stidham in the second. I mean, obviously that's not what happened. They went with Daniel Jones. And listen, I'm expecting big things from Daniel Jones. And based on what I've seen from Daniel Jones and the Giants, chances are he's more than likely will probably end up being a better quarterback than Jared Stidham. Only time will tell. We don't know. You've got to give a quarterback anywhere between 3 to 5 years to really assess the situation. But I love Jared Stidham. And what I find really interesting is from the minute this news broke, everyone is just immediately assuming that Cam Newton is going to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots. Just immediately assuming. Now, listen, I'm not sitting here telling you that Cam Newton isn't a better quarterback, isn't a better athlete than Jared Stidham. But here's the thing. The Patriots offense, and believe me, if the Patriots are going into this scenario and this situation with the thought process that Cam Newton is going to be their starting quarterback and they're not going to have an honest quarterback competition, which, by the way, there's a lot to get to there as well, because we are living in a pandemic world, which means we are living in a pandemic preseason, which means that we are going to more than likely have a shortened preseason, which means more than likely we probably won't have any preseason games. So follow me here, people. The Patriot system that has been overseen by Josh McDaniel for a number of years is very intricate. Their playbook is as long as War and Peace, if anyone has tried to read that. Maybe more for the millennials, Game of Thrones. How many books? Giselle, are you a Game of Thrones guy? Do you, have you followed the series? Have you read the books?
I read all the books, yeah.
There you go. How many books do we? You know what? I knew there was something I really, really liked about you more than the average bear. So how many books do we have?
There are 5 right now.
There you go. And there's the 6 is being written, right? I believe.
Hopefully.
Right? Hopefully. Which, by the way, we should not have had the season finale, the series finale until that last book was written, but who am I? So I just share that with you to say all the stars do not align properly just to automatically assume Cam Newton is going to win this job. It doesn't. Stidham has been in the system now. He will be entering his second year. He will have had all of last year. And keep in mind, he beat out Brian Hoyer for the number two job last year. He beat out Brian, 11-year vet. He beat out Brian Hoyer for the number two job last year in the Patriots system. He knows this playbook. So and by the way, like I said, I'm on for the entire week. I'm in for Chris Carlin. I'm going to have Mike Reese join us on the show tomorrow at 7:30. And I really want to dive in with Mike tomorrow, his thoughts on Jared Stidham. Because again, I get it. I understand it. You know, Cam Newton, larger than life. Dude competed in a Super Bowl. At one point in time, I think you could have argued that Cam Newton, healthy, playing for the Carolina Panthers, the weapons he had, defense he had, top five, top seven quarterback in the NFL. Definitely a top five quarterback that was drafted in fantasy football because he put up the numbers. You know, he's a, when you look at Cam Newton, you know, he's a tight end. He's got a tight end body and in with a quarterback's arm and a running back's elusiveness. Like, you know, he was magically built, kissed by God, otherworldly for this position. So I'm not saying like, I understand. I get it. I understand why if you go on Twitter and you follow all the tweets and you follow, and we're going to get into some handicapping, you know, how the lines changed for the Patriots, over under wins, probability of winning the division, probability of winning the Super Bowl with the signing of Cam Newton. We don't even know if Cam Newton is going to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots, Jets fans. That's another thing. Going on social media and reading all the tweets and comments, from Jets fans. Just, it was like, you know, their bubble was bursted. I'll tell you what. I still don't feel, with or without Cam Newton, the Patriots isn't the team that Jets fans have to worry about. It's the Buffalo Bills. And I know they're not the sexy team and they've stunk for so long. And I get that people haven't bought into to Josh Allen. Get it. But that's the team you need to fare in the AFC East, with or without Cam Newton. And I'm telling you right now, my money, and I'll give you the odds when we get back, my money is that Cam Newton will not be the starting quarterback for the Patriots week one of the regular season this year. And again, I'm not basing it on the fact that or the perception that Cam isn't a better quarterback than Jared Stidham right now. But here are my reasons why. Pandemic world, shortened preseason, more than likely no preseason games, no time to learn the Patriots offense. Even if Josh and Bill are going to tweak the offense to fit Cam Newton's abilities, to me, that still doesn't warrant, I just don't think it would be more wise than utilizing a quarterback who impressed you, who you like. Reports out of New England is that Bill and Josh really like Jared Stidham a lot. And here's another thing. The Patriots really have to find out what do they have in Jared Stidham. It's one thing to know what a quarterback can do in preseason. It's another to really find out what a quarterback can do as a leader of men, as your field general. So I'm probably an outlier. I'm probably in the minority. I love the signing, by the way. I'm not saying I don't love the signing. I love the signing. I'm just probably in the minority to say, slow your roll. I don't believe Cam Newton will be starting week one of the NFL season. I still believe it'll be Jared Stidham.
You're listening to Anita.
It's not like Cam Newton signs the contract today and he's in camp tomorrow. we're still living in this pandemic Zoom world, right? Where coaches are holding court on Zoom. It's insane. He's not in there. It's a whole new system. As Adam Schefter said, it's a whole new verbiage. It's just, and for, not to, and I don't mean this to sound like I'm talking down to people in any way, shape, or form, but if you haven't played the position and you haven't played organized or professional sport, it's not like just getting on a bicycle and start riding it again. There's so much, especially at the quarterback position, there's so much that goes into it. So much. It's going to be tough. I just don't see it. Let's go to your calls. 800-919-3776. Let's go to, is it Gotti and Elizabeth?
Hey, what's up? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening. I'm listening to you on the, and I believe as a Jets fan, you had a point. A lot of Jets fans are saying that, you know, our bubble was burst. If we had a quarterback, the Patriots had a second year rookie, it was going to be easy. I'm not saying it was going to be easy. He's a good quarterback. But I believe Cam Newton's going to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots. Bill Belichick is a win-now type of coach, you know. I've never seen him, like, in all my life that I've been watching football, I haven't seen him, you know, have a losing season.
But Gotti, here's the thing. This is what I'm saying, Gotti. What I'm saying is I don't know if it's again, understand, I'm not sitting here telling you that Jared Stidham is a better quarterback than Cam Newton. That's not what I'm saying. But the position, so much, there's so much that comes along with the position. You have to know the offense. You have to be able to understand the offense, digest it, execute it. It's so hard when, if we weren't living in a pandemic world and I knew that Cam Newton was going to be at the Patriots facility tomorrow participating in OTAs and practicing and being able to attend 6 weeks of training camp and 4 preseason games, you know what, Gotti? Yeah, I'm with you. But that's not the case right now.
Yeah, my other point was you got to remember Cam Newton is a dual threat. He can run. If he's in, you know, he's in a pocket, he's getting, you know, it's like you said, it's tough to just jump right in because of the way we're living now with this coronavirus and everything. It's going to be tough, but he can run. You know, a lot of offenses were based on quarterbacks that ran, like the Broncos that year with Tim Tebow. He literally had no accuracy, no arm, nothing, but he led them to the playoffs on his own feet.
Gotti, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I understand what you're saying. And listen, I very well could be wrong. I very well could be wrong. I just don't think I'm going to be. And I respect everybody's opinion. Let's go to Dennis in Hempstead. Dennis, you're up.
Yeah, how you doing? He's a former MVP. A lot of starting quarterbacks, all right. It's just this.
Dennis, have I annoyed you tonight? Are you a Patriots fan?
No, I'm a 49ers fan. Living in New York. That's a whole different discussion.
Okay.
But Cam Newton, a 60%, if they just run the ball, do some, his little trickery, little, wildcat kind of thing, just to come back in to start in the beginning, because come on, let's be honest. When they start, if they start this year, who's really going to be on point? So everybody's going to be trying to, you know, find their way running game. So run, figure out, little dink and dunk, and then take it from there. And he can't do that.
I'm sure he could dink and dunk, but you're not winning much with dink and dunk, Dennis.
You got to start.
Eli Manning and the Giants have been dinking and dunking for 3 years now, and Giants fans couldn't wait to get his butt out of New York. Dennis?
Well, they shouldn't have spent that $17 million on Eli. Like I said, I'm not a New York fan. I understand, but just the disrespect to Cam, like he can't be functional.
That's not what I'm Kirk saying. Dennis, I'm not sitting here telling you that Jared Stidham is better than Cam Newton as a quarterback. That's not what I'm saying. In this pandemic environment that we're living in, and Dennis, I appreciate your phone call. your frustration and your him and Holland actually made me laugh. In this pandemic environment that we're understand that there is a chance that the NFL training camp time might only be 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I mean, look, you have the fifth PGA player test positive for COVID. Not sure how many people out there listening play golf. You can abide by the 6 feet social distancing rules. I played golf today. I did it. Golf is an individual sport and it's a non-contact sport. The PGA Tour has three events, five players tested positive, non-contact. And these dudes aren't even around each other that much. You know how much time NFL players spend in a facility? A lot. Hanging out, eating together, showering together, working out together, in the film room together, 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 all the time. So it would be wise for the NFL to have a shortened preseason. It would be wise for the NFL to not risk having any preseason games. So understand that my reasoning has so much to do with the pandemic world that we're living in right now. No bueno. Time frame doesn't work. Now, if Roger Goodell and the NFL come out and say, we're not going to start the NFL season until late October, maybe November. Oh, okay. And players will be allowed to start showing up to their facilities right now we're being told the end of July. But if the COVID rate is increasing across the country, nobody wants to wear masks. This was a big discussion that I had on my show yesterday. You know, we're if you're listening to Sports Talk Radio, chances are you are a sports fan. And hopefully if you're a sports fan, regardless of your political allegiance, this isn't about being Republican or Democrat. This is just, if you are a sports fan, I pray to God you're wearing a mask. Because if you're not, you're hurting the opportunity and the possibility for sport to come back. Leave your allegiance, your political allegiance at the door. I don't give a damn. If you are a sports fan, you should be concerned. You should be irate. You should be fuming why people don't wear masks. Because you wear masks, fewer people get COVID-19. It's a fact. It's a fact. And until the COVID-19 rate goes down, leagues are not going to have a chance. So I don't see the NFL season starting in September. In fact, I've said this before, I think we'll be lucky if the NFL season starts mid-October. And I know that we're anticipating that players will be allowed to arrive at their facilities at the end of July. I pray to God that that is the case. I pray to God. But until the COVID-19 rate starts decreasing, I don't know how Roger Goodell and the NFL could allow that in a contact sport. So a lot of my reasoning and my assessment in regard to Cam Newton and the Patriots has a lot to do with the world we're living in and how we as a society and we as human beings are not taking this virus seriously.
Marks on 98.7 ESPN. You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you in for Chris Carlin this week. Giselle's producing the show from the studio. Kai and Joel are also producing the shows from home. So it's a four-man team tonight, which is pretty cool. I wasn't aware. I was just made aware of that just a few minutes ago. So hi, Kai. We had a caller who just called in who asked me. Now, Giselle, I'm going to bring you in here. I'm assuming you were listening to the caller's question. Hopefully.
Yeah.
I know you've got a lot. Okay, because I know you're a one-man show there in studio, and please know how much we appreciate that. Now, did he say Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb and a second round draft pick for Jamal Adams? Or did he say Michael Gallup or CeeDee Lamb? Was it and
or? He said
or
for some reason.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. I would take Gallup, Lamb, and a second round. I would take all three for Jamal Adams.
I don't think that's enough for Jamal Adams.
Oh, I do. I think CeeDee Lamb is going to be like Tyreek Hill.
I mean,
I think CeeDee Lamb.
When he proves we don't know what he is now.
I think CeeDee Lamb is going to be something spectacular. I really do. And a second round draft pick and Michael Gallup. So now you're getting CeeDee Lamb to me will be CeeDee Lamb. I'm trying to like a Tyreek. So now you're getting a Tyreek Hill. To me, Michael Gallup is a legit number two. I'm excited for all you fantasy football freaks out there. I'm excited for Michael Gallup this season, especially with a healthy Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. It's going to open things up for Michael Gallup in a big way. Love Michael Gallup this year with the Dallas Cowboys. And a second round, but here's another thing. And that is, I love Jamal Adams, right? I'm not bad mouthing the young man. I'm not. I don't think negative about him. If his heart isn't here and he's not going to show up, and he's going to be disgruntled and he's going to be unhappy and he's going to be miserable and the Jets aren't going to keep in mind, there is a reason why rookie deals were established in the previous CBA. If you recall, before the last CBA, not this one, before the last CBA, rookies were coming out of college before setting a foot on an NFL field. They were making ridiculous money. Veterans were sitting back going, dude, I've been playing in this league for 5 years. I've proven my worth. That and this cat's coming in, hasn't played a down, and he's making 10 times the money I'm making. Oh, heck to the no. No, this needs to change. And it changed. And now, because of that CBA, it benefited the teams that draft well. Why? You get a 4-year contract, sometimes a 5-year option. Then you get to tag the player for 2 straight years. So a player needs to invest anywhere between 4 to 6 years before that player gets his payday. That's how it works. Now, is Jamal Adams an exceptional talent where he's an outlier, where he should get his? He should get his paper. He should get his cheese. He should get his money before everyone else. Yeah. But if I was a general manager, would I pay a safety $17, $18, $20 million a year? No. Why? Safety's not going to help you win a championship. Sorry, not sorry. Play in the wrong position, dude. Should have played quarterback. Should have played left tackle. Should have played shutdown corner. Should have played defensive end. Safety is not going to help you win a Super Bowl. All those other four positions will. I'm not going to pay a running back. Christian McCaffrey just got a big deal. I'm not paying a running back that kind of money. That's ridiculous. I kept on saying when Odell Beckham Jr. was here with the Giants. Dumb. Just dumb to pay a wide receiver that kind of money. Dumb. So, you don't pay that position that kind of money. You don't want a disgruntled player in your locker room. You're offering me Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, and a second round draft pick? Yep. Let's go. Let's get our doctors in it. Let's do these turn and coughs. Let's get these guys signed. Put your John Hancock right here. Let's get you in my locker room and let's get this going. You kidding me? You know what Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, and who knows what the Jets would do with a second round draft pick to help poor little Sam Darnold out. Poor little Sam Darnold. Who's he passing the ball to? 800-919-3776. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Chris, welcome in. Good evening.
Hey, good evening, Anita. How's everything?
Great.
good. How's Mama Mimi? She doing well?
Oh, she's... You know, I talk to Mama Mimi every day.
Good.
Because I have to coach her up. Because here's the... here. In all seriousness, and Chris, thank you for asking. And for folks who are listening, maybe you don't listen to me on the weekends, Mama Mimi is my mother. She's 70... Anywhere between 76, 78. She's got diabetes. She's hip replacement, knee replacement, the whole gambit. And she lives alone down in South Florida. And so, Chris, every day I have to call her and give her a pep talk because she's alone and she's living in this pandemic world, but she's doing great. She's painting. Here's the thing. Like, listen, let's be honest, right? Like this pandemic world just sucks. I'm going to say it how it is, but I think we all can find little silver linings in how our lives have changed for the better. And for Mama Mimi, she has started to paint a lot and she's starting to sell her artwork and she's created like this little side business for herself and she's banking money and she's making money and,
she's getting that bag.
She is.
Go ahead.
She is.
That's what I'm talking about.
She's making that paper.
She's doing
great, Chris. And I appreciate you asking about her. Thank you, my friend.
But you know, I miss her. You know, because it's like when she swings in like Batgirl for us. You know, for that special appearance. It's a must listen.
My question was
about this proposed trade, and let's just say it's Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but Dallas is going to have to knock me off. I mean, they just going to have to knock me off my socks. One might possibly be, and I'm looking at first tackle, Lyle Collins, a 1 and a 4. You guys were talking about Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb. Either of those, if it was just one receiver, it would have to be. Let's just say it's Michael Gallup or CeeDee Lamb. You're going to have to give me a 1 and a 3. Just for me to stay on the line. The interesting thing, which, you know, because I know you have those four pillars, right? You know, and you're talking about edge, quarterback, which we have, left tackle, which hopefully we have, shut down corner. Now, we would be picking up receivers, CeeDee Lamb, first round. So in 5 years, you might have an Odell Beckham situation. With Michael Gallup, it would be possibly in 2 years. But my biggest thing is either, which I'm fine with. I want that number one because Anita, your alma mater, they got two edge rushers. I need one of them, preferably Gregory Rousseau. So I'm going to be watching a lot of Hurricanes games. Well, hopefully. A lot of Hurricanes games this year.
Well, that's my dad. My dad played for the U.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. My dad played for the U. My mom went to the U. I went to University of South Florida.
Oh, okay. So. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's where I got that.
But I was born, my dad was in architectural school when I was born. So we lived on the campus. My parents lived in married housing on the campus of the University of Miami, and I grew up a huge Canes fan, obviously, because both my parents went there. So
I'll throw one more in there if I can, and then I'll listen to your response to some of these possible deals. What would you think about Yannick Ngakoue in a third?
You know, I'll be honest with you, Chris. I haven't sat to, you know, truly evaluate what type of trade deal would look like or what I would want from the Dallas Cowboys. I can't honestly sit here and give you, you know, an analysis feedback on it.
Mm-hmm. But I'm taxing them personally. If I'm sending you home, I'm taxing you for that. I'm taxing you for everything. So in other words, you coming from the high, what? You're paying a lot of tax on that dollar in New York, right? Texas got state tax?
Ain't that the truth?
Oh, yeah, you're getting taxed for that. That's where one of those picks is coming from. Yeah, no, I'm getting some of that paper back. So, but thanks for the time. I will be calling you throughout the week. And you just, hey, you playing tennis now? Go ahead. I like that.
Do you remember Prim? Sarapapat, who worked at ESPN. So she's my neighbor, and she's an ex-professional tennis player. So I've been blowing her up. She lives a few blocks from me now. I've been blowing her up to try to meet me at the court. I'm like, hey, meet me at the courts. I need a serving lesson. I just need to get my serve down, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'll be stealing money from people.
Okay, I'm not mad at you. I'm gonna look for you on the tour in a couple of years because I saw those highlights.
No, far from it.
And
Chris,
I know
thank
how
you,
athletic
thank you.
You are.
Thank you for your phone call. I appreciate it. And I really appreciate you asking about Mama Mimi. Thank you so much. James, Josh, Tim, I see you. Quick break. We come back. We'll get to you. I promise. We'll hear more. I'd like to hear what Adam Schefter has some more things to say in regard to Cam Newton. Also, what I want to do, we're going to have Cynthia Freeland, who's going to be joining us in 15 minutes. I'll ask her about the move with Cam Newton. I'll ask her what her thoughts of the Jets. I'll even pose the question. You know, in regard to some of these trade deals you guys are throwing my way, I'll pose them for Cynthia Freeland. Also, some other news today in regard to the Patriots, and they were fine. Damn cheaters. I mean, before the show started, I Googled Patriots cheating history. Took me like a good 20 minutes to write down everything they've been accused of. 20 minutes I spent preparing for this show on the Patriots cheating. But anyway, because of their TV crew filming the sideline of the Cincinnati-Cleveland game, fined $1.1 million, and they lost a third-round draft pick. I know that the Cam Newton signing is kind of overshadowing. That's been put on the back burner, but dudes just cheat. Cheat more than the average bear, Giselle. Cheat more than the average bear. We're going to dive into that this hour as well. Still a lot more coming your way. Anita Marks in for Chris Garland tonight here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Bill Belichick, best coach ever to walk the planet. Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time, even though they cheat. I mean, really? We're going to get into that this hour. But first, let's bring in one of the best in the business. His name is Mike Clay. You see him all over ESPN when it comes to fantasy, as well as gambling and everything else. He's just a brainiac, and we're blessed to have you on the show tonight. Thank you so much, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Anita. How are you?
I always tell people ask me how I'm doing, all things considered. I'm doing great, and I'm blessed. So thank you.
Yeah. Everything's relative, right? That's a good way to put it.
Right? All right, let's dive right into it. Cam Newton with the Patriots. Well, let me ask you this, because I had Cynthia Freeland on. I had Connor Rogers on earlier. I'm the only one who thinks that Jared Stidham is still going to be the starting quarterback week one of the regular season. I'm assuming that you do disagree with me.
I do. And I actually reached out to Mike Reese last night when this news broke. He's, of course, ESPN Patriots reporter, does a fantastic job. Great guy, knows his stuff, knows the team well. Because I was curious as well what the thinking is. And, you know, he did say it will be an open competition, and I don't think there's any doubt about that. But the thing is, and again, he said this as well, if Cam Newton is healthy and he's his old self, it's not even a contest, right? Cam is, we know, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. What are the odds that Jared Stidham is an above average?
Oh, no. All right, we just lost Mike Clay. Giselle will work on getting him back on with us. So while we're waiting for that, I did go on to look at what Mike Clay has projected for Cam Newton. So he does have Jared Stidham playing 3 games. He has Cam Newton playing 13 games. He has Cam Newton passing for almost 3,000 yards, 17 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, rushing for 350 rushing yards, and 3 rushing touchdowns. So those are some of the stats. Giselle, let me know when we have Mike Clay back on with us. In the meantime, let's go to James in Sacktown. James, you're up. Oh, we do have Mike back? Okay, great. Mike, you there?
I am here.
Okay. Sorry. Yes. So let's just rewind and give me all the reasons why you think Cam Newton will be the starting quarterback week one.
Yeah, I don't know how far we got through, how much I got through, but in a nutshell, essentially, you know, what are the odds that Jarrett Stidham is an above-average NFL quarterback? I mean, history says fourth-round quarterbacks just don't really pan out. I mean, they're, look at the list over the past just decade alone of day three quarterbacks, especially in those middle rounds, and show me certified NFL starters or average or above. There's not many of them. So he is a long shot. Cam Newton, if healthy and still at age 31, probably is at worst an average NFL quarterback. So, again, I agree with Mike Reese. I agree really with the consensus on this one. If Cam is healthy and he can still use his legs, he should win that battle pretty handily.
All right, so I was kind of, when we lost you, I was kind of sharing your projections. If you can, you know, reiterate those, and how did you come to those projections for Cam Newton and what the expectations are for him this season, especially in fantasy?
Yeah, so initially I went with a 13-start projection for him. I'm hedging, all right? You know, like I said, I would expect a healthy Cam who, by the way, he appears to be healthy, right? I mean, if you we don't have a ton of super reliable information on to go off of, but as my colleague Stefania Bell pointed out, if you watch his Instagram videos, the guy looks like he's back, right? He's healthy. He's ready to roll. He's not still dealing with that foot injury or the back injury from the past couple of seasons. So, you know, again, I do think he would win that battle. That's why I have him with 13 starts. But, I'm going to hedge a little bit. He's learning a new offense. We don't really know for sure what they have in Jarrett Stidham. So there's a lot to kind of still be determined. But still, I have him at 13 starts. I have him at 20 total touchdowns. A lot of his damage would obviously come on the ground. I have him around 360 rushing yards, about 3,000 passing yards. So, again, if you think he's going to play out the full season, obviously you're going to extrapolate those a little higher. And it's going to come out to a pretty good season. Maybe not peak Cam Newton, certainly not peak Cam Newton, but still a pretty good season in what should be an above-average offense, let's be honest. I mean, you have Bill Belichick there, and you also have Josh McDaniels, who, by the way, I just did a project on play callers. No coach in the NFL has called more games offensively just in the regular season than Josh McDaniels since 2007. He is number one in that category. So the guy, we know he has plenty of experience, and obviously he's had a lot of success as well.
Again, Mike Clay joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. So with that being said, Mike, let's say, hypothetically speaking, somebody's going into a fantasy football draft. Let's just say, because by the time we all have our fantasy football drafts, I think we'll be even more in the know in regard, excuse me, to who's going to be the starting quarterback. And let's just assume that it's going to be Cam, right? Since I'm the outlier who thinks it's going to be Jarrett Stidham. So with that being said, where do you see Cam Newton going in a fantasy football draft? What round do you see him being drafted in?
You know what? And I did cover this in my article, my reaction piece I wrote last night, because I was thinking about that as well, right? Because that's where his value is going to come down to, is what is the public perception. And here's the thing. I mean, quarterback is deep. Every year we say this, but every year there's just another quarterback added to the pile. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So with all the risks in mind that we laid out, and there's certainly going to be plenty of doubters out there, I think he's not going to be overly expensive. In fact, in 12-team leagues, if he goes in rounds 10 through 12, that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Tom Brady is going in round 11 right now. Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers in round 10. Matt Stafford, Daniel Jones, round 11, right? So that's about where I think Cam Newton will go, if not a little bit behind those guys. So that's about where I think he will go, and that's honestly where I think he belongs. I mean, if you look at their schedule out of the gate, it's not too tough either. They actually opened with Miami, who's better defensively, but still has a long way to go on that side of the ball. And again, the schedule for New England, not too tough out of the gate. So he could be a gem. He could be a league winner if he's his old self. We know what he brings to the table. He's one of the best in the business as fantasy goes at the quarterback position. So it's going to be really intriguing to watch this play out over the next few months.
So, but Mike, are you, when you, if you were entering into a fantasy draft, are you entering with the mindset that Cam Newton will be the first quarterback you take off the board? Or are you going in thinking like Cam Newton will be this, your second quarterback, and you're going to stash him and hope for great things?
I would not feel great about that situation if he was my only quarterback. No question about it. I mean, look, again, in 10 or 12 team leagues anymore in fantasy, there's so many options that sometimes you're going to have, you know, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Ryan Tannehill, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins, guys like that may not get drafted, especially in 10 teamers. So you have a lot of options, and you can have Cam on your roster as your only quarterback and know you have fallback options. But I think most of us out there are in leagues that are, you know, in 12 plus, maybe even deeper than that, or you know that your league may take two quarterbacks, and you probably don't want to come out of your draft with one guy and it being Cam when there are so many question marks in play. But again, you know, at least he has upside. We know what he brings to the table. He can be a top five quarterback, so at least there is that that appeal there. And again, you know, like you kind of alluded to, Anita, it's going to come down to really where he ends up coming off the board in drafts, and we'll probably have that answer here in a week or so.
Hey, before I let you go, you know, obviously you're on the airwaves here in New York, and I'm really big on the Buffalo Bills this year. I've got them winning the division. I've got them with the over 8.5 wins this year. You just call me, you know, Bills Mafia, whatever. But there's a debate, obviously, and I'm sure because they were both in the same draft class, like who's the better quarterback, Sam Darnold or Josh Allen? I guess my question to you is, are you drafting either of those quarterbacks as a QB1? And who would you draft first?
Yeah, I mean, in fantasy, it's definitely Josh Allen. You know, I think that on a play-by-play basis, Sam Darnold has been the better passer so far, but that's not saying much, right? Josh Allen has really, really struggled throwing the football, and we kind of knew that coming into the league that would be a drawback. What nobody knew coming in, amazingly, was that he could do so much with his legs. So all-around play, all-around body of work, it's obviously been Josh Allen so far. So I think you have to give him the nod as a player so far, but again, he's going to have to improve a bit as a thrower. And kind of, it's kind of funny we're talking about Cam Newton because, you know, the last time we saw Cam healthy for most of a season was back in 2018. He played in 14 games before he got hurt. And that was his best season as a passer in the NFL. I mean, he completed almost 70% of his passes as they made him a bit more conservative, and he still was adding a lot of value with his legs. Well, that's what I want to see Buffalo do with Josh Allen. Stop forcing him to throw deep every time. Let's have some more conservative throws, get it to the running backs more often, and see if that helps this offense. They haven't really scored points the past two seasons, and if he doesn't step it up as a more efficient passer, the Bills aren't going to go anywhere. So, I mean, that's a long way of answering your question. I do think, you know, Allen is obviously the better choice in fantasy, but I still think there's hope for Sam Darnold. A lot has gone against him so far, and it's going to be a really big make-or-break season for him here in 2020.
All right, last question for you, because I'm asked this all the time whenever I run into somebody, and that is Mike Clay, number one pick overall, on the hot seat, has to, clock is ticking, and the draft is happening right now today at 9:15 on this Monday evening. Who is Mike Clay's number one pick overall in fantasy today?
Well, I mean, I appreciate us going out on a layup, right? I mean, this is as easy as it gets, right? It can't not be Christian McCaffrey. I mean, look, I have the guy projected to easily dominate in terms of running back fantasy points again this season, and that's with about 50 fewer carries, about 300 fewer rushing yards, seven fewer total touchdowns, 26 fewer catches. That's my projection for him because I'm injecting some injury risk in there because he's a running back, not to mention the change in coaching there. And again, still by far the number one projected fantasy running back. The guy's just so good. He plays so much. He's so effective. He gets the work all over the field. And obviously, if you're playing PPR, you know he is a candidate for 100 catches, which just adds to his appeal. So no question about it. If I get that 1.1, it's Christian McCaffrey on my roster.
Great stuff, Mike, as always. So great to hear your voice. I'm glad you and your family are safe and healthy, and we so appreciate your time this evening on 98.7 ESPN. Thank you, my friend.
Always great talking. Take care, Anita.
You got it. He's Mike Clay, again, one of the best in the business. James, you will be first up when we get back, 800-919-3776. Also, I want to turn our attention to the other story. As I mentioned, I know we've been spending a lot of time on Cam Newton and the Patriots and their win total and all that other stuff. But, you know, let's dive into what else happened with the Patriots. And that is cheating yet again. Fined $1.1 million. They lose a third-round draft pick. The NFL and Roger Goodell not taking this lightly because their TV crew filmed the sideline of the Cincinnati and Cleveland game. Their TV crew was doing a segment called Do Your Job, A Scout's Life, and got busted. We'll dive into that. Because here's the thing. We talk about Bill Belichick, best coach ever. Tom Brady, best quarterback ever. The Patriots, dominant dynasty. Well, I'm going to share with you, all they've been busted for. And I asked myself this, and I'm going to ask you, is it fair that we appoint best coach, best quarterback, best team, best dynasty when there's so much cheating that has gone on? Why am I I feel like I'm the only one who feels this way. Like we just take it for granted, and it's like, it's just what they do.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.